So good afternoon, and thanks for coming to the talk. The data I'm presenting is only related to the serpentine soils. So my title is geogenic nickel speciation in serpentine soils. And this first photo you can see is of a serpentinite rock. And from the picture, you can establish that these rocks have unique qualities that they impart on the soils from which they weather down to. Here in Pennsylvania, there is a serpentine barren site that's typical of serpentine soils. It's barren for various reasons, generally because of low nutrients like calcium and phosphorus, and also because of accumulation in the soil of naturally occurring nickel, cobalt, and chromium and manganese. Serpentine soils can be delineated pretty much visually if you look at the fauna. Here you can see little fauna, and what there is in the background are some trees which are stunted in growth and have a mangled appearance. And that's because of the low nutrients in the soil, and also the augmented transition metals that occur in these soils. The reason that these soils have such high amounts of some of these transition elements is because of the parent material, which is derived from ultramafic magma. Ultramafic meaning high amounts of ferromagnesian silicate minerals. Now, the process of forming serpentine minerals from serpentinite is called serpentinization, which is a process that's thermodynamically favorable at environmental ambient conditions here on the Earth's surface. And what happens is olivine plus water basically forms serpentine and brucite. Serpentine is a general mineral term used to describe three specific serpentine minerals called antigorite, lizardite, and chrysotile. At the bottom of the screen, please take note of the mineral elemental formulas. A lot of them are magnesium silicates that contain iron. Also, manganite and chromite are very prevalent in serpentine soils. What can happen over time is these soils preferentially accumulate these transition metals, and eventually up to amounts where they're considered ore quality, and chromium, nickel, and cobalt can all be extracted from these soils for profit. Here I want to give you a visual comparison of two different sites, one a serpentine site in Pennsylvania and the other in Maryland. Visually, these two serpentinites have a distinct greenish tint and black specks. And these black specks are chromium. And below, you'll see some soil characterization data of the specific serpentine soils that I'm using for my speciation studies. The pH is a little bit low for your typical serpentine soil, which is normally about 7.5. But I would like you to focus on the chromium here, manganese, and nickel concentrations, which are elevated for chromium manganese at about 3,000 ppm, and nickel, which can go up to 7,500 ppm. So for a lot of plants with this type of soil chemistry, growth really isn't favorable unless you've evolved on this type of soil, which here is an example of a nickel hyperaccumulator called Alyssum morali. And this here on the left is some pictures of Alyssum being grown on serpentine soil, and this plant can actually accumulate up to more than 2% of its dry above ground biomass. So 2% pure nickel is high enough for this soil to actually be mined. It's called phytomining, where they grow the plants on the soil. And at the bottom you'll see the alyssum being harvested, where it was subsequently ashed, and they extracted the nickel from the bio-ash and then resold it for profit. So that's kind of the drive of this type of technology, more of a non-invasive mining. However, my interest lies more in anthropogenic pollution from nickel smelter plants and the production of stainless steel, where there's widespread distribution of nickel in the soil around these industrial plants. Here is a map that demonstrates some of the native habitats where nickel hyperaccumulators are found in this. The Southwest Pacific and in the Mediterranean region in Europe, those are very common areas where nickel hyperaccumulating plants are native. So the objective of my study is to use in situ molecular scale methods like X-ray absorption spectroscopy to identify nickel species in serpentine soils. And the results will have implications that can relate nickel speciation, geogenic speciation, to uptake in these hyperaccumulator plants, effectively describing the first mechanistic step of what is in the soil so that we know how the plants must extract it from the soil. And also, the results will be used to assess phytoremediation of nickel-contaminated soils. If there are common nickel species in both the serpentine soils and anthropogenically contaminated soils, it's feasible to think that this plant could be used to remediate large-scale nickel-contaminated soils. The methodology I used were basic, one I showed you before, were the basic physiochemical characterization data, essentially the elemental concentrations. So part of that was shown before. And the other methods I used were synchrotron-based. Essentially, I used bulk X-ray absorption, fine structure spectroscopy. And that essentially use a fair amount of your soil to determine, using XAFs, you get you get data that describes the species of the nickel in the soil. And to go on a smaller level, I used a micro X-ray fluorescence mapping to determine nickel association with various other metals in the soil. And micro XAFs, which is a micro technique where you can focus on certain micron size areas in the soil to look at species variation in the soil. So it's a much more defined technique than bulk XAFs, which looks at your bulk soil. And then I coupled the micro XAFs with micro XRD to obtain mineralogical information about the elemental hotspots, which I'll show you. So here you can see two preliminary least squares fitting data of two serpentine soils from Oregon, and the blue you see is the data. Now in the S13, you can see that some of the prevalent spectra that contribute to the fit are a nickel aluminum layered double hydroxide, a nickel carbonate, and a nickel manganese oxide. Now these fits, essentially the way you do least squares fitting is you have your spectra generated from your sample, and then you use a suite of standard spectra also obtained via XAFs and use the software program to essentially recreate your sample spectra using your standard spectra. So these three standard spectra contributed greatly to the soil spectra. And in the S9T2, you can see similarly that a nickel aluminum layered double hydroxide contributed, and also nickel organic acid aconitate contributed a fair amount, and a nickel manganese oxide. I would think that the organic acid contributed a fair amount because this specific soil had a high organic matter content, about 6.5. But looking at this data, you can see the fits are pretty accurate, though there are some adjustments that they could be better. And essentially what I need to do is get more standard reference spectra, specifically nickel sorbed to iron and various forms of nickel and iron together, because they highly correlate in soil, as you'll see from these maps, where essentially this is a 0.6 square millimeter map. Of each map is the same area of the soil, and so if you look at the nickel and iron maps, you can see that they are very coordinated, and also there is some coordination with manganese. And what I did was I chose two spots on this map to perform micro XFs to compare how these spectra were different. One I chose where nickel is associated with iron, and the other I chose where that hot spot of nickel is associated with manganese. So on these maps, these lighter colors, the white colors, represent the elements of interest, the elements listed in white. Now, at two spots on here, I'm showing you some XRD data where you can see in the green spectra is associated with the green circle, so it's high nickel, high iron. And the red spectra is associated with the red circle, which is high iron, low nickel. So essentially, they're both high iron, but one is high in nickel and the other has very little nickel. And what you see is strikingly similar spectra, lizardite, which I was happy to see there because it's a typical serpentine mineral. And the difference in the spectra essentially come from chloritoid and a pyroxene mineral, which are both iron-containing minerals. So it would make sense that the iron hotspot it would make sense that even if with the iron hotspot, you can see these iron-containing minerals. So in conclusion, the bulk XFs preliminary fits show that LDH phases and manganese oxide phases, their standard spectra do contribute to the XF's bulk soil spectra. However, it's necessary to add some of these nickel iron spectra, which I'm hoping to obtain to get to provide better fits. For the micro XRF mapping, nickel is highly coordinated with iron, but and less so with manganese. In the micro XRD, the differences in elemental concentration and coordination can denote different mineral phases, which is interesting to see. For the implications, now that we've confirmed from the mapping that what a lot of wet chemistry techniques have showed us, that iron accumulates with nickel, we can start coordinating species of serpentine soils to anthropogenic species to see if it's possible that these hyperaccumulating plants can extract the anthropogenic nickel species. And finally, hyperaccumulators, because they're native to these serpentine soils and because there's such high coordination between nickel and iron, they must employ some sort of mechanism that can remove nickel from these compounds or dissolve these compounds to effectively liberate nickel for uptake. So with that, I'd like to thank my fellowship and my research, the Environmental Soil Chemistry Research Group, the new Delaware Environmental Institute, and the two researchers at the USDA and at the National Synchrotron LiSource, and Dr. Chris Oz from Bryn Mawr College. Thank you.
Take some questions for Matt. Okay. I have one quick, Matt. The loading of those samples where you showed the lizardite, I was just curious. I didn't remember the loading of the nickel in that.
The loading? Oh, the concentrations of
nickel? Right. Sorry.
Yeah, in here? So the concentrations in this sample were generally about 3,000 ppm nickel. However, getting concentration data from mapping, it can be done, though I would need to prepare my samples a little differently. You'd need a kind of a thin section mount, whereas these were powder mounts, because you need to assume a sample thickness. So you can extract, you know, concentrations from these maps, but the way my samples were prepared, it's not realistic to do that. So essentially here you just compare the hot spots, and these are counts per second of fluorescent photons.
But lizardite is a nickel hydroxide?
Here's the...
I was just curious, like, if that's kind of what you predict based on your pH? And
I'd predict, it's an aluminum silicate mineral. So there are a lot of aluminum silicate minerals and magnesium silicate minerals. But that's, where is that? Well, here. So serpentine is magnesium silicate hydroxide.
Any other questions? All right, let's thank you.